Hello and welcome or welcome back to Fancy a Blether podcast. I'm your host Kirsty Taylor and today we are chatting to the lovely Charisma about all things being a woman in STEM, starting a business at a young age and much more. So stay tuned for that interview, but for now let's hop into our intro. Hello, hello, hello. How are we all doing? I feel like I have to start this episode off with a disclaimer. You can probably hear in my throat, hear my voice, not doing so hot. I don't know if this is like round two of fringe flu. I'm about to eat so many vegetables and have so much vitamin C and a ginger shot. But regardless, we're powering through. I'm here with you with my peppermint tea. I do have to apologize for this episode being a week late. Turns out working two jobs, one of them being a fringe job, one of them being a school teaching job, and also having a social life and trying to run two podcasts, not very effective. So we're back to regular programming. I'm so excited for you to hear this chat with Charisma. I have an exciting interview planned for next weekend and stay tuned on Conceptual Conversations. I know there was no episode yesterday, but Naomi was at a funeral, so for obvious reasons we weren't able to record, but we're still here, we're still going strong. I apologize for the week off, but sometimes you just gotta take care of yourself. I was running on very low steam, so it just wasn't possible. So yes, I apologize for my voice and I apologize for the lateness. I also apologize for the audio in the last episode. I am trying to fix it. So hopefully by the time you're listening to this, the interview sound quality will sound better. I don't know what happened with that interview, but for some reason it's really quiet. So I'm sorry about that as well. Lots of apologies today. It's like an apology tour. I love that for me. Anyway. I've basically given you my life updates through the apology tour, so that's fun. So let's crack into it. Small wonder of the week this week is, I already mentioned, I think, my peppermint tea has been getting me through some hard times recently. So we are very grateful for the peppermint tea coming through in the way that it can. So that is my small wonder for this week. My gem of the city this week, we're changing it up. We're doing a fringe gem of the city because why not? There is this dumpling place in George Square Gardens that has my heart. I go to that dumpling place every year. It is what I look forward to at the fringe. It is what keeps me sane at the fringe. It's what keeps me alive at the fringe. I think I've been like twice this year, maybe three times. And every time they hit so good. So George Square Gardens and the assembly part. And the dumpling shack. I think they also have popcorn chicken. I haven't tried that. So worth it. Incredible. The best food you'll ever eat. Well, that's maybe an exaggeration, but just trust me, you have to try those dumplings. Also, the Mana Poke Bowl place is really nice. So that's also another shout out. Right, so before we hop into our poem of the week, my Curian essential this week, for people new to the podcast, Curian means like be cozy, nestle, warm, and wholesome, you know? Is a Netflix show I've been watching called The Upshaws. It's a sitcom, and I've just really been in my sitcom era. Not that I've ever left my sitcom era. I don't know, I just find it very entertaining. I love it. It's comfort show. So I'm shining out Upshaws on Netflix. Their new season just came out. I think this is season 4. And I love it. It's great. It's a great time. Okay, so staying on the fringe theme, because we are entering the final week of fringe. So sad, but my body is so excited. I am going to read a poem that is Natasha Tripney's fringe poem from 2022. And then I think what I'll do is when her one from this year comes out, I'll also read that for you. So Natasha Tripney every year creates an annual cut-up poem from the pages of the Festival Fringe program. So this is her one from last year. Deep underground in the near future in a devastating heat wave, in a hotel room in a broken wintry world, in the height of the national lockdown, in the belly of a kettle, in a technologically advanced medical facility, in a dying forest, in a worker's cult at midnight on Halloween, the end of the world is announced. After winning the lottery, a failed writer, a disillusioned Vietnam veteran, a ruthless South London gangster, Britain's most compelling dandy, a gender non-confirming praying mantis, two pantomime stars, three mysterious strangers, four youthful specimens brought together by takeaway pizza, trying to follow their dreams, miraculously switch bodies, journey through the gig economy, travel back to the days of dial-up, try to navigate day-to-day life, accidentally summon a demon, watch society crumble. Is Hamlet to blame? Trapped in a murder ballad, trapped in a vault 100 meters underwater, trapped in a nostalgia for the thousands, living in repressed Victorian times, healing from loss and trauma, facing a quarter-life crisis, the first female tiger tamer is put to the ultimate test, armed with a backpack of Pop-Tarts, hiding a dark secret, saturated with corruption, struggling to find a way out, becoming a symbol of resistance as the feudal lord parties on. When fruitcake appears, chaos ensues. A connection is made, two worlds collide. Do you ever feel like your organs are floating? Who are we programmed to save? Grief, 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 grief. Adapted from an immortal classic. Based on the online game, based on the popular folk song, based on the legends of old, back by popular demand, back with a new variant, unapologetically queer, unapologetically Indian, breathtakingly elegant, blisteringly fabulous, fascinatingly twisted, heartbreakingly raw, marvellously theatrical, deliciously depraved, interactive investigation, interstellar sexploits, immersive digital satire, comedy hipness, Dante-esque descent, lush southern accents, deranged disco, miniature set design, mouthfeelous monologues, drunken voicemails, 120 possible combinations, knitting is encouraged. A madcap saga, a performance of thrilling extremes, a play without actors, exploring uncertainty, exploring female rage, exploring what it means to be human, filled with questions about identity based on real events, based on verbatim material, featuring augmented reality told in rhyming couplets, told with unflinching honesty, performed in a bespoke venue, performed in complete darkness, completely sold out. How far will a politician go? We don't have money to burn. Grab your umbrellas. All maniacs, welcome. So like I said, that is Natasha Tripney's Fringe poem from 2022, and you can find it online at MobiusIndustries.com, which I will have tagged in the show notes. And now we're going to hop into our chat with Charisma. Enjoy. Hello, Kirsty popping in here to shout out this week's charity. So this week we are shouting out The Yard Scotland. And The Yard is a charity that believes in adventures. They create beautiful havens for play for disabled children, but even more than that, they create opportunities for fun, friendship and community building, support and a sense of belonging, and they create somewhere to feel safe to take risks. It is a place of understanding without judgment and a vital lifeline for whole families. To find out more about The Yard, you can head to theyardscotland.org.uk, where you can learn more about becoming a member, booking training, donating, other ways you can support them, and find all their social medias there. And if you're interested in perhaps working with The Yard, you can also head there. So like I said, that's theyardscotland.org.uk. Hello, Charisma, and welcome to Fancy a Blather podcast. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. Thank you for having me, girlie.
Yeah, of course. No worries. And we like to start off the episode every week with our guests before we kind of get into who you are and what you do and kind of get into the bulk of our conversation by asking what your small wonder of the week is. So can you let us know what your small wonder is?
think my small wonder of the week, my goodness, that's such a good question. I think it's just Edinburgh being warmer for once.
Nice.
We rarely get that, to be fair. It's about 2 weeks in a year and then that's us. So that's definitely something I'm very grateful for.
Yeah,
week.
Fair. I think actually the rest of the week is meant to be quite nice.
Exactly. We've had
which
a really
good.
Bad spell of rain this year, haven't we? So
yeah,
last year was the first time I was in Edinburgh over summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so lovely. It was so nice and warm. And then, you know, gone through things like graduation. I've gone to friends' birthdays, all sorts. And it's just been rain all summer. It's
not fun.
Yeah, no, it's not
yeah,
ideal.
Especially graduation. I feel like there's no vibe.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. I was praying my fingers crossed for no rain. And it was just, it was a bit of a washout. But it was a really lovely day, ultimately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel like we had really good weather early this year.
Yeah.
So that's why then the summer was like a bit of a...
To be fair, yeah, we did.
A miss.
Like around, was it
like
May time?
May,
June.
May
yeah.
And the start of June was really hot, unexpectedly.
I know.
And now when you like want it to be hot, it's not like...
This is not ideal.
This is not what I asked
yeah,
for.
Exactly.
Yeah, but no, I think this week is meant to be nice, which is also definitely good like during the fringe, because
yes.
There's so many outdoor things happening.
Oh yeah, I love just taking a walk along the Royal Mile.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing what's going on.
We're just like sitting in the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So nice, but like I don't really love sitting in the gardens in the rain, I can't lie. So.
No. You know, I did that for the first time last week. I didn't have anything to do on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
That's quite rare for me as well. So I was like, oh, I'm just going to take a little walk. And I sat down in Prince Street Garden. It was so cute. Just people watching. I was reading my little book and it was actually such a vibe.
So wholesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, we should probably let the listeners know like who you are, what you do. So do you mind like giving like kind of like an elevator pitch of yourself?
Okay, right. So my name is Charisma. I've just graduated with a master's degree in chemical engineering. I have a few little interests. So I quite like music. I quite like singing. I also teach on the side because I find it quite fulfilling. And yeah, that's me.
Nice. I think what is an interesting thing to talk about first is how did you get into chemical engineering? I feel like that's quite an interesting, like, unique path.
It is, yeah.
How did that come about? How did your kind of passion or enjoyment of that, why was that, like, your major that you picked?
So, I think for me, it was that I was quite good at science in school,
mm-hmm.
but I was also quite creative.
Okay.
So, like, back in the day, I was deliberating between music, which is the more creative side,
mm-hmm.
and a career in STEM. And I was kind of like having a conversation with family, with teachers, and they were like, look at your degree as an investment,
mm-hmm.
right? So like, think about maybe...
I love that.
Yeah, because I guess it ultimately is when you're an English student, you don't get it for free.
But I think that's still a good piece of advice for anyone.
Absolutely, yeah, it definitely is. And I never thought of it like that back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, maybe then I'll look at something that is creative, but will also like... set me up in terms of financial prospects.
Yeah, like a structure,
and, yeah,
good,
exactly.
good foundation.
Exactly, a good foundation. Like, and if I want to pursue creativity, like, I'm fine doing that as
mm-hmm.
well on the side, or, like, later down the line. But
mm-hmm.
right now, like, I know I want to go to uni, so it probably is good advice.
Mm-hmm.
Just think of it like that. So, yeah, I think, for me, engineering kind of marries the creative side where you're problem solving
mm-hmm.
and the science that was playing to my strengths, and I found it quite interesting. I've always found studying it really
yeah.
interesting. So I was okay, I think I want to do something in engineering, but I wasn't too sure what, and it was actually my physics teacher that one day came about and said, oh, Charisma, we've got this engineering taster day. So they sent us away somewhere. And we got to talk to all of these stalls, and they had so much cool stuff going on. So they had things like 3D printing.
Mm-hmm.
They had, I still remember this, they had a racing track, and you controlled it with your brainwaves. So cool.
Oh my god,
yes.
That's amazing.
So the car went around depending on how...
You were like thinking?
Yeah, how concentrated you were. But the funny thing was, so I put out my head, trying to concentrate on moving the car. The car didn't move.
Mm-hmm.
But I then took my phone out to send a photo to my friends.
Was in your concentrating on something else.
I was concentrating on typing. I was like, guys, look at this. And it starts zooming around. I'm like, oh, how does that happen? But it was just such a funny story that how I got into engineering. I just always remember that damn car.
Yeah.
Because it was just unexpected. But no, seeing stuff like that, I was like, oh, this is actually really cool. So, okay, I think I do want to do engineering. And then I remember thinking, oh, in school, chemistry was my favourite subject.
Okay, nice.
Back then, I didn't realise that chemistry and chemical engineering are not... They're intertwined, but they're actually quite different.
Mm-hmm.
But that's essentially the story.
Nice. Yeah. No, I love that. I'd love for you to speak a little bit about kind of your experience of being in chemical engineering. Obviously, everyone is listening to this, so they won't know that you're a woman of colour. Yeah. Obviously, I'm sure they can recognise you're a woman. But as like a woman of colour, what has been your experience? Obviously, chemical engineering, particularly stereotypically, and even just looking at like percentages in just STEM in general,
absolutely,
is very much lacking, not just in women, but it is lacking women in colour. And I'd love to know, like, what has been your experience of kind of navigating that?
Absolutely. So, that's a really interesting question. With the university that I went to, so I went to Edinburgh University, they mm-hmm. had quite a good split of a boy-girl class. Mm-hmm. I'd say it was close to 50-50, and a good portion yes. of those women were women of colour. We had mm-hmm. a lot of Malay students. Some of my best friends are from Malaysia, and they're female yeah. engineers from my class. So you don't really feel it when you're in university.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was looking at was that STEM actually has a bit of a leaky pipe problem. So mm-hmm. often you'll get women into STEM, you'll get women doing the degrees in STEM, but they might not stay in STEM.
Okay.
And some of that is, I suppose, when you graduate and you're looking at your job, then it becomes more male dominated and you notice the differences in the culture. So speaking on that, I've personally not experienced that just yet.
Mm-hmm.
I've been quite lucky in that all of my industry experiences, bar maybe one, it's quite a good split of people of colour versus, but having said that, there were not so many women on the way. So mm-hmm. it's like there's those two groups. It's like normally you'll get a good split or a good diversity, but perhaps it might not be gender diversity.
Right? Yeah,
maybe
okay.
racial diversity
yeah.
instead. But yeah, it's quite rare to get both mm-hmm. in the same job or the same sort of company. Which is, you know, I think in itself people are making moves to sort of mm-hmm. expand that. But at the way it stands, I think it's less than 2% of mm-hmm. women of colour make up the workforce in engineering.
Wow.
And I think part of that is because of the leaky pipe problem that we have in STEM.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's also quite difficult then to walk into an industry or into a company where you might be the only person, because
mm-hmm.
it's hard to find kind of relatability, because it's a different experience surely for a white man if there's like 50 other white men to be in that company. Like as soon as they come in, they're gonna feel a different atmosphere than like a woman of color coming in, like, oh, this is like a different energy. So I feel like that must make it quite difficult to like find those jobs.
You know, to be honest, it's not something that I think about mm-hmm. really. I recognize that I am a woman of color, and mm-hmm. just my existence in certain spaces, even if I don't mean it to be, is challenging the status quo.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, it's not something that I think about
yeah,
when
yeah.
I'm in a job, because I think technically for me, like, regardless of my racial identity and my gender identity, I'm still able to complete the job just as equally. So
mm-hmm.
personally, I don't realize it when I'm going for these interviews or when I'm working in these industries.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I have been quite lucky in that it's been quite a diverse
yeah.
split in the past. I'm sure if I was to work in a company that, you know, was slightly less diverse, then it would be more noticeable. But I'm yet to experience that. I feel like I am actually quite privileged to be able
mm-hmm.
to say that, because I'm sure for other women of colour that are engineers, the
yeah.
small minority that are out there, they may not be
have
able
like
to
a different
same.
Experience. Yeah.
Exactly.
That is good though that you haven't had that experience. That
yeah.
suggests that hopefully
exactly.
things are going in the right
We're
direction.
We're hoping that things are changing, and I'm starting to see that perhaps things are, because I was quite surprised by it when I started to work in the
mm-hmm.
engineering industry. That, oh, it's actually, it is quite diverse at the companies
yeah.
that I've worked for. And, you know, that's something that surprised me, because the
mm-hmm.
stereotype isn't people that look, or people with gender identities like me.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
so,
definitely,
yeah.
no. Just to kind of rewind for a minute, why Edinburgh? Why was this your pick of uni? Why was Edinburgh the place you were like, this is where I want to go?
So it's such a good question. So I remember I came up for I think it was an open day
mm-hmm.
in Edinburgh Uni, and I love the city. I fell in love with how beautiful it was,
mm-hmm.
and it's just absolutely gorgeous. I remember saying to him, I'm moving here. Like, my heart was set, my mind was set.
Nice.
And then also something that took me over the edge was, like, I got a scholarship here as well.
Mm.
So that was...
That's ideal.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of worked in my favour.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember way back when my friend wanted to study here in Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying to him, why would you want to go so far? It's so far away from... So I'm from the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, that's what, 3 hours, 3.5 hours, 4 hours. Why would you go so far? And then here I am, 5 years later. And I was just thinking, karma must have been laughing at me that day.
Yeah. Nice. No, I love that. What has your experience been of moving? Did you find it quite easy to, like, make a community in uni? And, like, was it kind of easy to find social groups? Or was it more challenging at first? I can imagine, like, obviously your degree sounds like a pretty full-on one, so how did you kind of navigate that whole, like, moving away from home but also, like, jumping into this intense degree and figuring out, like, a social group in a new city? What was kind of your experience of that? Obviously rewinding the clock a little bit here, but
yeah, no, absolutely. I think everyone puts a lot of pressure on first year being your best year.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that it absolutely was not.
No,
so the first year I was here, I enjoyed it. I did find myself a little bit lonely because I didn't know anyone.
Yeah, and I think first year, I don't know, I think you think you know people, I don't mean that in a mean way, but
mm-hmm.
I think you think you know people more than you do in first year, because now,
absolutely.
Looking back, because now I'm 8 years on from first year, which is terrifying, I think I probably talked to one or two people
yeah.
that I met in first year, which is not, there's no bad blood between me and the other people, it's just that life happens.
That is what it is,
yeah.
I think you are a little bit more naive, you're coming in.
Yes.
From high school,
yeah,
right? So you're coming in with rose-colored glasses and you kind
mm-hmm.
of don't realize that the way people have been brought up or perhaps just their life experiences, you may not fully grasp the picture and how they are. And that's fine. If they're different from you, that is what it is. But, yeah, no, there's definitely a degree of maturing that you
yeah.
go through when you're at university. So, yeah, no, my first year was... it was a bit more lonely than I was because the friendships that I had were not as strong as they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just nothing to do with
mm-hmm.
the people. It was just giving it time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I
yeah.
think I'm in a similar situation to you. I think I only speak to one of the people that are in my
mm-hmm.
population from first year still. Not to say that as any bad blood with the other people that I've met, but nonetheless.
Yeah, I think life just happens,
right?
And
yeah.
people realize that sometimes friendships are situational, right?
Exactly.
Sometimes, like, it's
exactly.
because you live together that you hang
get
out together.
Friends, yeah.
Because it makes sense.
And that's so fine. I feel like surface-level friends are fine.
Oh, absolutely. I think you need both.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing wrong with having different levels of friends in your
exactly.
life. I don't think you want just high-level friends, because I think that can be quite overwhelming.
Especially if you've got a lot. That's a lot of emotional labor for one person to do if you've got a lot of high-level friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. But, yeah, no, it's... And I honestly value the time that I spent with these people, but it's fine that we're different and it's fine that things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
No, I love that. I think that is one of the most important lessons you learn as an adult, is
yeah.
that friendships are a lot more complex and fragile than maybe they're made out to be
yeah.
when you were younger. Because really, when you think about it, a lot of your friendships you had growing up
or school.
We're a lack of choice.
Yeah, it was
like
most
not like I'm
not
still friends with some
yeah,
of my friends
of
from school. Absolutely adore them. But some of them, like, there's no bad blood there either, but, like, it's just because we went to school together.
Yes.
Like, that's why you see each other every day naturally. You're going to create friends with people you're around all the time.
Absolutely.
And then you
yeah.
grow up.
And you grow
and you,
together as well.
Yeah, and
so
then you grow up and you grow
somewhere.
Apart. And that's.
Yeah.
And I think learning that is hard when you've had 13 years of education, because then you're still in education, but it's a different type of education, so
yeah.
it's a whole different, and then you leave uni and it's a whole different, you're like, oh, this is different again, like, what's happening now?
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting the way the friendships kind of ebb and flow throughout your life, but in a way I think it's kind of nice, because I think it adds a lot more value to friendships, because I think I always valued friendships to a certain extent, but I think as an adult I've learned to value certain people more than I would have as a child, because I didn't recognize the amount of effort that needs to be put in as
absolutely,
an adult, because
yeah.
as a child there wasn't much effort needed.
No, you were just always just next to each other, right?
There, you were just
yeah.
in
that's why
together.
I always say, like, with adult friendships, it's fine if we don't talk every day, it's fine if we don't
yes.
talk every week, but as long as we're reaching out
yeah.
and it feels mutual, that's the
yeah,
main thing.
Absolutely, I agree. I think that's something that's, like, it's kind of, it can be a hard lesson to learn, but I think it's an important one.
Absolutely.
So, no, I love that. You spoke earlier about kind of, like, enjoying doing different things, which I think is amazing. I think it's important for lots of people. I know some people prefer to stay in one avenue, but I'm definitely not one of those people. So what is, like, other things that you enjoy doing kind of outside chemical engineering? You spoke a little bit about, like, your tutoring
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So how did that all come about, and how do you balance all of that? It's kind of a two-parter.
That's a really good question. Yeah, so with the nature of my degree, it was obviously quite academically
mm-hmm.
intense, right? We didn't always have much time. So I actually was 18 when I started
mm-hmm.
my tutoring business, and then, as all 18-year-olds do, you know, I didn't pursue it because COVID happened, and, you know, there was a whole pandemic thing that we were all dealing with. And then also just there were a lot of big life changes for me at that age.
Yeah,
I'd
absolutely.
Moved to a new city. I was fresh out of high school and started a degree. So I thought I could handle it at 18. But then I was like, I think I need a bit more time to adjust.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
Which
so
is,
I just
I
gave
think
myself
a really
that grace.
Incredible thing to be able to do at 18. Like, that's very emotionally mature
yeah.
to recognize that within
yeah,
yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just important that you give yourself grace. So at that
mm-hmm.
point, I just wanted to do what was manageable for me. So for me back then, that was, you know, focusing on my degree,
mm-hmm.
getting internships, building a social life, building those close bonds for a city I've just moved into. So then COVID happened, right? So we had
mm-hmm.
another hiatus there because we were just all like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. And actually, it's something that I went back to, I think it's been just over a year now. So someone contacted me at this number about vocal lessons.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I could do that. That's so fine. Because I'd taken a break from singing at this point because, again, like, the degree was just, it was very intense. It was very an academically intense degree. And so I was like, oh, I guess I could, yeah. Because I like teaching people, I like singing, and you know what? The money's always a bonus as well.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I started as a vocal coach, actually, and then but then I thought, well, I can also equally teach STEM
mm-hmm.
and maths and all sorts. I've done this to university level. I did quite well in my school exams as well. So, yeah, that's how I sort of fell back into teaching and tutoring. And it's been something that I've enjoyed. I just quite enjoy that process of helping people find their feet.
Nice.
With the subject.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's me.
I'm sure it's nice as well to have a different way for your brain to engage.
Exactly.
So I think that's something that can be beneficial to, like, other parts of your life.
Oh, absolutely,
is
yeah.
being able to use your brain in a different way, because it can also then have a positive impact on the other parts of your life because you're allowing yourself to have, like, more than one thing in your toolbox.
That's
and have
so
more
true.
Than, like, one personality trait, which I think is very underrated, is being able to, like,
have
exist.
Interests and just yeah.
Yeah, to be being able to exist as, like, a multifaceted person.
Exactly. Like, we're not just one dimensional. We're not just
yes.
the degree we study. We're not just the sport we play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have all of these facets, and, you know, I think people really like their boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to realize that you're a whole person.
Yeah.
You have so many different traits to you, and you deserve to embrace them all.
Yeah, and I think it's important in terms of that to also allow those to shift and allow, like, the
exactly.
identity to shift.
Yeah.
Which is why I like that you kind of were like, okay, I can't deal with this right now, and then came back to it later on, because it shows that, like, you're willing to, like, accept that
yeah,
change and recognize
change
that. Yeah, recognize that within yourself. Obviously, with it being a pretty intense degree, and then having, like, your tutoring business on the side, and I'm presuming having, like, a social life, and also as adults we have to feed ourselves
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Try and get, like, some exercise in our day and do all these other things that you forget are things that you need to do, and
absolutely.
Then you're like, oh, whoops, I need to clean my house. How do you ensure that within all of that you're still making time for yourself? Like, how do you ensure you balance everything so that you've still got like alone time and you're like avoiding that burnout, which I think is a big thing for people around this age.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. When you're in your early 20s, it's kind of like there's so many things that are grabbing your attention.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to prioritize making time for yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So the way I do that is I'm a bit of a type A personality,
nice.
Right? So I'm a planner. Yeah. I'm a complete planner. I like my spreadsheets.
Yeah.
I like my schedules. And I just try and stick to them and be quite strict with my time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that helps me not sort of overpromise myself,
mm-hmm.
and not overstretch myself. So something I do in my own time to sort of relax and decompress is I work on my fitness.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So I think it was a few years ago I lost around 30 kilos.
Oh, wow.
So it was a massive lifestyle change for me.
Yeah.
I wasn't the kind of person that used to go to the gym and work out. And, you know, it's really taught me a good level of self-discipline, and it's given me a fantastic amount of confidence in that, you know that I can set a goal and achieve it. So there's so many things that exercise and health do for you. So
mm-hmm.
it's de-stressed me, but it's also massively increased my self-discipline. It's massively increased my confidence. And actually, last week I achieved quite a good fitness goal for myself. So I thought that I wasn't able to run very far. I was kind of dressed like,
uh-huh.
hated running.
Yeah, okay.
Hated it. I hate in school. I thought, oh, I can't even run for like 10 minutes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, charisma girly, we're 5'2". Let's slow down the pace. Like, why are we sprinting?
Yeah, fair enough.
Right? So it was really a perspective change,
yeah.
that happened. So I slowed it right down and I didn't run far, but I ran for half an hour. That was my
goal.
Amazing. Yeah. And I had not been able to do this for absolutely years. And I think that's because I was going too fast. I didn't have anyone to guide me. Like, I wasn't really working on a program or anything. It's just something
mm-hmm.
I do for cardio. But I didn't realize that, oh, when you just change your perspective of how you do things,
mm-hmm.
you can actually do more than you think you're capable of.
Yeah, I think that's really an incredible thing, because I think also the way that sport is often taught, I'd say less so now than before. I'd say it tends to be less of a thing than it used to be, but it used to be very like, and it depends on who the PE teacher is, I suppose, but like competitive.
Oh yeah.
And very
absolutely.
Like, very like, if you're not winning, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that is really an interesting concept, because I, funnily enough, was probably one of the slowest kids in my class growing up. I never was particularly fast, which is hilarious because now I do triathlons.
Oh, really?
So it's like, what a perspective shift. But I think I also kind of grew into my body over time.
Yeah.
And I also just kind of got more confident with not caring. And I don't
That's
do
so
triathlons
bad.
To win. Like, I'm
yeah.
not there because I want to win the race. I'm there because I want to compete them, and I enjoy racing, and I enjoy how I feel at the end, and I enjoy doing the sport.
That's so
I don't do it because I'm wanting a medal. Like, if I get a medal one day, that's great, but that's not my objective. And I think that is a real perspective change as well, is recognizing like, sport doesn't have to be about winning.
Mm.
Not even team sport. Like, yeah, okay, it is nice to win when you're in a team,
yeah.
not gonna lie, but it is also important, like, and it sounds so corny, but it is also important that you're enjoying yourself.
No,
like,
I think
what is
that's
the point
the main
in
thing,
playing
right?
sport if
yeah.
you're not having fun?
Exactly.
Like, to me, that's just like completely, even as a kid, I never got that, because I quit sports because I stopped having fun.
Yeah.
And the coaches would be mad at me because they'd be like, you're getting good, and I'd be like, but it's not fun anymore.
If you
but
can't find
the
joy in things, you're not going to be sustainable.
Yeah, I was like, it was fun,
yeah.
but now you're putting pressure on me and it's ruined.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I think that's a really cool thing. And I think it's great to like celebrate.
Yeah.
Wins that are personal wins, because I think everyone is at different places, and I think that's so important to recognize. I think even because I've recently started doing or attempting to do like weight training at the gym,
oh,
and
amazing.
Even just like the fact that I'm doing that is a like big deal, because
yeah.
it's I've recently kind of realized the importance of that, particularly, not that I'm particularly old now, but like as you age, the importance of muscle strength.
Oh, especially for women as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think
much
it's
more
like,
prone to osteoporosis.
Yeah, so
muscle.
I think it's like a great thing to be doing, but it's definitely like a real mindset. So I get what you mean, like a mindset shift.
Absolutely.
Because I did used to think like, but I don't want to be like muscly. But I'm like, oh wait, you don't get muscly.
It's quite hard, yeah, to bulk up like to that.
Yeah,
level.
Like you have to actually like eat like a shit, and I'm not doing that. Like, I don't want that, so I'm just not gonna do that. Like, you will not get muscly just from, like, doing your regular stuff. Like, you would have to have so much protein and stuff, yeah. And I'm like, I don't want that. So, no, I love that. I was also going to say, so how did the kind of business thing come about? Because that's such an interesting thing to be, like, 18 and be like, I'm going to start a business. Like,
yeah, what? I mean, I think it comes from, and I had a really good conversation with another person I know in business about this.
Mm-hmm.
So he started his when he was, I think it was 23, so that's my age right now.
Yeah, cool.
And he said it was just about being young and sort of
taking a chance,
just doing it. Yeah, just going out and doing it and seeing where the cards lie. You know, with tutoring, it wasn't particularly high startup cost either,
mm-hmm.
So it was something that was quite attainable for a student to do. And I thought I could do hospitality, but I think I do quite like teaching, so I used to teach
mm-hmm.
a little bit my classmates.
Uh-huh.
So some of them would struggle a little bit with some maths and science concepts. So I used to teach, and I used to think, oh, I quite like doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind trying to monetize this as well. So I started up when I was 18, but again, like I said, then I rejoined again when I was 22, I think, so that's
yeah.
like last year. And yeah, that's how it really came about. I just started teaching friends and, you know, kids and family members
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And yeah, I found that it was quite fulfilling for me, and I wouldn't mind, you know, doing that as a little way to put myself through university.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. What have you found to be kind of the pros and cons of having a business at a younger age? Like, what has been the advantages and disadvantages of you being younger whilst doing that?
Well, I think the advantages are that obviously as a student you're not committed to a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
So I think if I was to have a 9-to-5, I don't know if this is something that I would still pursue.
Mm-hmm.
I'd obviously just have to look at all the factors there. But also when you're a student, there's just a certain level of excitement. Like
mm-hmm.
everyone around you is like, oh, just go and do it. Like, live your life. You're trying out new things. So that was one of the new things that I was trying out. I thought, well, what if I want to just tutor as a little
mm-hmm.
side job, you know? And that's how it sort of then grew.
Nice. Would you say there's been any disadvantages? Have you experienced any kind of, like, ageism, if you like from clients and stuff? Or has that not really been...
Thankfully, again, I've managed to evade that. I don't
nice.
Feel like it's been an issue. Maybe that's just because of the nature. Most tutors these days that I see are quite young.
Yeah, fair.
Right.
That is fair.
Yeah. I think it's... Tutors, some of them are older, but I find they tend to be teachers
mm-hmm.
as well. But
mm-hmm.
the most of them I see are around their 20s.
Yeah, I suppose as well you have the relatability for... Because
yeah.
You tutor mostly teenagers.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's the relatability of not being too far...
Far away,
from
yeah,
their
far
age,
away from their age, exactly.
Which I think teenagers find particularly
yeah.
helpful in terms of creating a bond. I feel like children are less bothered by that.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can get over that faster, but I think that is something that teenagers can relate to more.
Down with kids, as they say.
Yeah, exactly, as if you understand where they're coming from a little bit more. So I'm sure that's something that probably helps in terms of it being another pro. So
yeah.
No, I love that.
Yeah.
We are going to have to wrap up here,
okay,
but it's been
fantastic.
So lovely chatting to you. But I do need to ask before we go, what is your Korean essential? So what's something that like keeps you cozy in life that you want to shout out to the audience?
I think for me, it's, you know, when you're looking out of your window and it's a really nice
mm-hmm.
foggy autumn day.
Oh, I love that.
Vibe.
What a great vibe.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is peak coziness, especially when you don't have to go anywhere after.
Yes, when you can just
you know,
enjoy watching
exactly.
it.
Exactly, enjoy the vibes.
Yeah, amazing. That's an excellent one to share. And finally, can you let our listeners know where they can find you in case they're interested in like learning more about like chemical engineering, if that's maybe a path they want to take, or learning more about the tutoring side of the world, or maybe they just want to say like they enjoyed the episode.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. So you can reach out to me on TikTok. My handle is it's X Karisma, which is how you spell my name.
Amazing. And I'll have that linked in the show notes as well. So if anyone wants to check it out, you can find Charisma there, as well as all of our Fancy of Leather social media. We're on Instagram and TikTok just at Fancy of Leather. And thank you so much for listening this week, and have a good week, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you want to follow along with all things fab, you can head to our Instagram at Fancy of Leather, head to our TikTok under the same handle, or check out our website, fancyofleather.com, and stay tuned for a new episode next Sunday. Have a good week. Bye.